Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood, but this week we are three new mommies because Alex is out. She's buried underwater or something like that. What happened to her? Does anyone know?
Basically, the complex that she is living in, the people above her had a leak. And I think it was going on for quite some time. And they have, a flooded kitchen. And they're pulling up the floors and trying to determine whether the appliances need to be pulled up. And they're hoping they just don't find any mold. So she's struggling right now with the no kitchen. And they live in the city, so it's not like the biggest space. It's a beautiful apartment, but we all know how tight it can get there. So she's probably surrounded by workers, and Reese is being entertained. But I saw her yesterday, and she seemed to be in really good spirits.
Oh, good.
That is so stressful. That just sounds like... And she just had her first birthday party on Sunday. So right after that, they had to move stuff into boxes and then get out of the way of construction workers or something like that with a toddler. How was the party, by the way? You guys go?
It was great. It was so fun. She did such a great job. She did kind of like a little jungle theme. And Reese's grandpa put together like little goodie bags that had... Dom's favorite thing were these little like jungle sunglasses. He has these little, they're tiger print sunglasses that he took home from the party, and he just runs around the house in them. He loves them. And she had cake, and it was so cute, and the weather was beautiful. It was really fun. Lots of babies, lots of moms and dads. It was a great party.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And they had bottomless mimosas to toast their first year of parenthood, which they passed with flying colors. And I was really impressed with, you know, the flow of the party. And it was a lot of fun. And there were so many people there, and I met a lot of new parents. And the cake was beautiful. And I didn't even know that I didn't think that she made it, because not that she can't bake that well, but I mean, that thing looked really professional. So I was really impressed for that. And the cupcakes, and I really, really, really loved her idea, as Natalie mentioned, of all the grandparents chipped in and contributed some part of the party. So one of them brought some cupcakes, and one of them did the goodie bags, which also had adorable little like Wonder Woman and Superman onesies in them, or t-shirts. And Elle has a Wonder Woman one. So keep a lookout for that. But I loved the idea of getting all these other people involved, because it makes them feel a part of it. And it also takes a load off your shoulder. So
really smart. So Miles' first birthday is on Sunday, the party. And I am starting to really get the, like Tina Fey calls it, a heart raisin, where your heart just shrivels up into a raisin because you're so nervous about something. So I have first birthday party heart raisin over.
What are you so nervous about?
Well, there's not that many kids coming, so I've got some activities, but I can't really do that many kids' activities. And, like, goodie bags are kind of silly because it's mostly adults, because we just moved to this community, so we don't know that many kids anyway. So, you know, we have a pinata, but if it's just mostly adults, are they going to want to do that? It's going to be super hot. We have a heat wave here on the East Coast, so will that be uncomfortable? And, you know, I've given my mother-in-law some tasks, and I'm afraid that I love my mother-in-law, but I'm afraid that she's going to, like, need more resources, and I'm going to be like, get out of the kitchen. Because I am, you know, and I'm having a really hard time allowing her to help. She keeps volunteering to do stuff, and I'm like, no, I want it done my way, which I know is not the best way to do something. So, yeah, heart raisin, a birthday party heart raisin.
That'll be awesome. Take lots of pictures, since we won't be able to be there in person.
I'm sure it will be great. And the one saving grace is my mom arrives this afternoon, and my mom has this gift, like I think both of you girls have, the ability to make everything beautiful. And also be beautiful at the same time. Whereas I feel like if I'm actually accomplished, you know, making my house or something look beautiful, then for some reason I look like a troll doll.
You're covered in toilet water.
Covered in toilet water. Yeah. So I just have it. Grace is something that I aspire for every day. So that reminds me of what we've been writing about on mommybeta.com. So the thing that I wrote about just a few days ago was a DIY project. So I'm trying so hard to be handy. I've just come from living in New York City for 3.5 years, where you didn't have to be handy. You have people to help. You have doormen. You know, you can't do anything outdoors. So I'm trying really hard to just take on projects to make my home mine, to make it special. And so I am a cloth diaper, and I got, as part of my cloth diapering kits that were sent to me, a diaper sprayer. Natalie, do you have one of these?
No, I don't use one.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't need it quite so much, and I'm going to talk about poop for a second, but my son's poop is pretty solid, so I'm able to just dump it in the toilet, and it doesn't, like, stain the... But, you know, every once in a while, maybe they have something that makes it a little runny, so it's nice to have the diaper sprayer where you spray off the excess into the toilet and then wash your diapers. And, you know, you're supposed to throw out poop in the toilet even if you use disposable diapers. Most people don't do that.
Oops, I don't.
I mean, but if you think about it, poop in the landfill is disease risk. So for everyone to be throwing poop into our public landfill, you know, if everyone did that, we might have kind of safer water supply and whatnot, but nevertheless. So I'm trying to, so the other day I was trying to install this diaper sprayer, and it looked pretty easy. You just take the valve that goes from the wall to the toilet and replace it with the valve on the diaper sprayer, and then there's a little splitter that a diaper sprayer comes out of that, and then there's a little, like, spray nozzle there. So I thought, okay, this is a super cool thing. So I was successful in unhooking the original tube that was there, but when I put the other one in, the replacement one, the washer was missing in the valve where you're supposed to tighten. So it started to spray, and it eventually just sprayed all over me, and it got worse and worse, and the bathroom floor was covered in water. And Clayton, who was just recovering from leg surgery that he had on Monday, couldn't help out. And he was like, what the heck is going on? Miles is asleep in the next room. And I didn't tell him that I was going to take on a project like this. Do you guys always tell your husbands when you're going to do things like that? Because I know, Natalie, you've got a project like this going all the time.
Yeah, no, because I know he's not going to be much help.
So I usually
just go for it.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I asked Tom. I'm like, oh, maybe you should do this because I probably mess it up. So, but
Tom's,
I do like
handy.
He's really handy. He can figure anything out, and I like to think I'm pretty handy too. Like, I put together the exercise, or I can put together the swing. But when it comes to plumbing, I stay far away.
Yeah, that's probably a good rule of thumb that I will probably adhere to from here on out, but I didn't the other day. So Roto-Rooter shows up at 10:30, and the guy comes in, and he's like, what's a diaper sprayer? I think I know what that is. And he's just walked up the stairs shaking his head the whole time. And he gets upstairs, and he was like, what the, and it's leaking all over the place. And, you know, I mean, I had turned off the water, the supply, but whatever was still left in the bowl was dripping out. That was what got all over me, was still what was still, I mean, it's not pee, but it's still toilet water. So anyway, the guy was, at the end, he fixed it pretty quickly, and he was like, oh, there's just missing a washer. So it wasn't really my fault, but still was a tragedy. And and so he didn't charge me for it. He only charged me for the emergency response, because he's like, I don't even know what this job is.
It's a pity on the first mommy job.
Yeah.
Plumbing.
But, you know, there's something about doing your own projects that I really want to do things like that, because it gives you this sort of fulfillment of your soul. Is that how you guys feel? Because you're always doing something like this that and then I get inspired, and then I mess it up.
I want to feel like I'm competent, you know, and I can do this. Just because, you know, my husband's a man doesn't mean he's the only one can do that. So I agree. Definitely makes you feel good when you've accomplished it.
I agree. I'm reading this book right now, Think. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the subtitle. It's something for smart, to keep women smart in a dumbed down world, or something like that. It's Lisa Bloom. And I should blog about this. And she has a quote. I don't have my book in front of me, but I had highlighted it. And it's something along the lines of, you know, our grandmothers used to do things based upon their wits. They would figure something out. They didn't have life coaches and breastfeeding coaches and, you know, this and that and that. You know, all these people, kind of these experts teaching them how to do things. They just kind of relied on their own smarts, their critical thinking, their own, you know, physical ability to do all of these things. And we have lost that a little bit. We don't rely on our instinct. We don't try to do something. We just ask for help. So I think, you know, that's what we're talking about here, is it's us kind of trying to take back our own, you know, self-sufficiency a little bit.
Well, that's interesting, because it seems like modern day conveniences or technology, I feel like, has sort of made us less competent in what we're doing, you know, completely. Because we'll just Google it, as opposed to say like with breastfeeding or, you know, with technology today and formula available today in you know, years past. I mean, they never didn't really have those conveniences. So they only had one another, and this is what they grew up seeing. They were very familiar with it. They passed, you know, passed around tips and things like that they picked up. So it wasn't something as like taboo, I think, as some women find it today because people around them aren't doing it or talking about it or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess it makes you think, when do you take the training wheels off? Because you can, you know, look everything up from how much water or milk they should have, when should you wean, when should you do this, or you can literally just listen to your child, listen to your body, and listen to your instinct. So there's, you know, I think Natalie posted about this on Mommy Beta about how the community of being online is so valuable, but we need to sort of wean ourselves off of it too and trust ourselves a little bit more as well. So I think that we need to sometimes take the training wheels off of ourselves as well, although not when it comes to plumbing.
And I have a question about the diaper sprayer before we shift off this. So did you get it installed? Have you decided to keep it? Do you like it? Does it get water on the floor when you spray?
Are you using it as a bidet?
I did try it as a bidet, but then I realized, you know, that, okay, Natalie, you lived in France.
Yes.
When you use a bidet, it's the same. It's not drinkable water. It's just clean water that comes into the bidet. It's the same water that was in the toilet that you just pooped or peed into, right?
Right. I mean, it's. I would say it's drinkable water because you don't. You don't have all the water that comes into your house is the same. So your water that comes into your sink and your shower and your toilet should all be the same. You're not connected to different lines.
Right. Okay. So you could drink the toilet water if you want. Well, because I was like, is this the right? So if I use it as a bidet, I'm spraying my butt with the water that's underneath me, right? The same water.
It's before it's gotten into the toilet.
Right. Okay. It's coming from the source. Okay.
Yes.
Anyone who has any experts in plumbing is probably going to think we are complete dumbasses. Conversation. But so I did try. It's a little cold, but it's kind of a cool thing. And it's hot right now. I think if it were the middle of winter and I was spraying my butt cold water, it might not be so great. But
how strong of a spray is it? Is it just a little trickle thing? I mean, I don't see how that would get poop off more than, you know.
Well, you can control the spray. And it's got some pretty good water pressure. It's like a shower, or you can, you know, make it less if you want to. It's a neat thing. I think it's a neat thing to just have in there for who knows what reason. I don't know. I mean, it's weird that as babies, we wipe poop from our persons with wet cloths and wet naps. And then as adults, we just kind of use a dry paper and wipe right. it away. Like, it's kind of gross. Europeans have it right, I think, when it comes to that.
They have wet toilet paper, don't they? I mean, here, aren't there some places?
They have those like flushable wipes that aren't really flushable.
Are they not flushable?
That's what I've heard, is that I saw a friend's Facebook post that said something along the lines of, you know, Roto-Rooter just left. They told me just because the box says flushable doesn't mean they are. So I know with a septic system, you definitely can't use those. Maybe with real plumbing you could, or, you know, it's, municipal plumbing, I guess.
Yeah.
But see, with the bidet, so what do you dry off with?
They keep towels next to them, right? Oh, you lived in France.
My family didn't have a bidet.
They didn't?
Mm-mm.
Can you dry off with toilet paper, or is it too wet to do that?
You can, or you just...
But you get a fresh towel every time?
I don't know. Well, when I've traveled in Europe, they leave a towel next to the toilet, and I don't know if you get a fresh towel. God, we're going to sound like idiots to anyone who really knows these questions. But.
Or disgusting. Oh, I was reading an article this morning about if you're a germaphobe or not, which I can write a blog post on later. But I did learn that only one in three people do not wash their hands after using the bathroom.
Gross.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's. But they have tips on, you know, how to. Leading into the bathroom, I guess, Natalie, I think you were going to lead us on to potty training.
Oh yeah. So we've collected been trying to collect some information about potty stools and all of that good stuff. And I am trying to find, I got a great comment from a reader, and I can't find it to reference the name of the person who it was to give them a shout out. But they suggested this cool contraption that it's basically like a little step stool that has a soft toilet seat at the top that you just kind of place onto the toilet, and then it folds up to sit next to the toilet when it's not in use. And I think that's a particularly good situation for Nick when we start potty training, because we talk a lot, Nick and I talk, we discuss these things, about poop. You know, when I change his pants and he has poop, you know, I say, what's that? And he knows the word poo-poo, and he can look at it and tell me what it is. And we go into the bathroom and we say bye-bye to the poo-poo, and I dump it in the toilet. And sometimes I let him flush the toilet, and we wave at it and we say goodbye. So I think that that's kind of like a good, very early foundation. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe we shouldn't do the little potty chair, because he's already used to the big potty and he kind of knows what that is for. So maybe the little potty chair would confuse him. So I'm thinking right now that that might be what we go for, but you know, we're still a ways off from potty training. I think I'm still going to do the little potty chairs for my nephew. And I will do a blog post when I decide, you know, which chair to get him. And I'm also going to get him a potty book. So I'll post about that too.
Oh, I have the potty book on iPad, and there's one for girls and one for boys. What's that famous potty book?
I think I know which one you're talking about. I was looking at them, and is it, I'm trying to remember. It's something with an F, the last name, Falker or something like that.
Something like we'll post to it in the show notes on mommybeta.com. But they recently came out with, for boys and for girls, is the potty books. And it just sort of talks about, you know, how it happens, where it comes from inside of you. We have a lot of poop talk today. This is a poop episode. So if you don't feel like, I hope you haven't just had your oatmeal in or driving to work
right now. Well, you know, it's interesting in talking about, you know, I love the idea of, you know, saying bye-bye to the poop and flushing the toilet and everything. And then this article I was reading this morning on, you know, the germaphobe, it was also telling you how to prep your child to be cleaner, I guess, more aware of germs of when they're mm-hmm. using the bathroom or going with you, you know, in the public toilet at least. But do you do that at home? And then after I was reading it, I was thinking, well, am I going to make my child a freak if I do this? But basically, they're saying that most of the germs reside like in the public stalls, you know, before you leave to go wash your hands, because people haven't washed their hands at that point. So they were saying to take a little piece of toilet paper and show them, like, first thing to teach them is not to flush with their hands. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take a little piece of toilet paper and use that to flush. Or I do the foot flush.
Yeah, I always do the foot flush.
Depending on the type of, you know, I guess, flusher.
I use my chin. Is that wrong?
Yeah. And then the other thing they were saying is, you know, not to touch like the lock on the door. So use your elbow or use the toilet paper. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have my like 4-year-old kid like elbowing himself or herself around.
But you're just going to wash your hands after that. So why do you have to worry about
that? Exactly. I don't know. The reason is because kids are always touching their face. And so the chance of them getting sick is most likely from some sort of fecal matter or, you know, something that's on those areas of the bathroom. So the best thing to do
is sink.
Exactly. So, and when it comes to the sink, make sure you grab your tissues and things like that are the things you're going to wipe your hands off with after you wash, so you don't have to touch anything after that. And then make sure you have one for the door. And they said that, you know, there have been, in most studies, this is gross, fecal matter, like on the sink, like, you know, where you're washing your hands and things. So know that it's just really important to really wash your hands and things like that, especially for little kids who are always touching their face and stuff.
Yeah. All right.
I wanted to give the name of the potty seat. I just looked it up. It's called the Mommy's Helper Contoured Cushy Step Up, and it's $22.54 on Amazon. So it's a pretty cool little thing if anybody is interested in looking at that.
Neat. Contoured and cushy.
Yeah, it's like a little soft, spongy seat. And from the reviews I read, it sounds like older kids, it's easy enough for them to fold it up themselves and move it out of the way. I mean, not an early potty trainer, I don't think, but And it looks pretty secure. Because I know one of the things is that they're supposed to be able to put their feet solidly on the ground or on something, because that allows them to relax their sphincter muscles. Uh-huh. So you don't want their little feet to dangle. And this has the little step that they would put their feet on.
How neat. This does look super cool.
Well, okay. I can imagine that Nick would definitely fold this up, given what
because he's so neat.
Okay, before we move on to potty training, from potty training, though, I have to tell you the funniest potty training story I've ever heard is my mom's boyfriend told me this story about a friend of his, that when they were training their little boy, the little boy was around 2 or 2.5, and the mom ran outside to do some gardening or something, and the guy came home for lunch, and the little boy was sitting on the potty because he used to sit there for a long time, just kind of, you know, whistling or whatever they do, just sitting there. And the little boy was, the mom was outside. So the guy came home and his wife didn't know he came home. And she must have been out for a while. So he sat on the baby potty and did a man poop in there and then put the baby back on and left. And the mom came in. And the little boy's sitting there, and she lifted him up, and she saw an adult poop.
Oh, my gosh.
That's disgusting.
And then she called him at work, and she goes, "You'll never guess what he just did." And the guy was cracking up because he set her up for a man poop in the potty.
Oh, that's so wrong.
So gross. Isn't
that stupid? And then she had to clean it.
She had to clean it?
Well, obviously. Who else?
Oh, in the baby potty. I thought he was like on the big potty.
No, he did it. I don't know how he fit his butt there, but he pooped in the potty training.
Yeah. Oh, I would be pissed.
I would put it outside and let him clean it when he got home.
Seriously.
But I mean, if you're married to a jokester, that's the kind of stuff that you're going to get.
I guess so.
Different joke.
All right. Well, I don't think that Natalie's husband would do this because he is a neat freak. And Natalie, it looks like you're raising another neat freak. Tell us about this post. It made me laugh.
Oh, God. Yeah. So it's the running joke in our family that Sean, you know, clears your glass before you finish drinking your juice or whatever. You know, he gets it from his mom. They're all just like crazy neat people, which is, it's actually been really good, especially when we lived in the city in super small spaces. And, you know, he kind of helped me, you know, get organized and stay clean. But yeah, Dominic is definitely taking after his daddy. He loves to vacuum with me. So I bought him this little toy vacuum cleaner that is the bane of my existence, because I think, Nat, you said that men must design these things, because it says, it talks to you when you push it, and it says things like, "Oh, is that a rabbit? No, it's a huge dust bunny." Or, you know, like, "Oh, this place is a mess." And it's just, you know, like, it mocks me constantly. So, you know, Nick loves that. He loves to push it around and mimic mommy. And he also loves to walk around the house and point at things on the floor, like, you know, crumbs that I missed cleaning up from lunch, or, you know, strings that fell off of, you know, pants or whatever. And he points and goes, "What's that? What's that?" Until I pick it up and, you know, tell him it's dirty. And then I put him in the garbage can, and he points at the garbage can and says, "Dirty, dirty." So he will help keep things clean around the house, I guess.
Does he pick up his toys too?
He definitely kind of, because I have them kind of organized where, you know, certain, like, he's got a little area that's kind of his kitchen and a certain area that his stuffed animals usually hang out in. And he's pretty good about keeping things in their general area. Like, if he takes something out of his little kitchen, he almost always brings it back and puts it back on the kitchen shelf. It always stays in that general area. He's just kind of getting to that developmental stage where he's putting things back. Like, it used to be just everything gets thrown out of the bucket of toys, but now he's starting to put things back together and back in their places. So yeah, I have a feeling that things will stay relatively orderly around here, at least for a while.
That's really funny. It's funny because, you know, they always say that kids are like pigs. They just want to be dirty and run around dirty. And is he that clean with his person too, Lizzie?
No. He loves, when we're outside, he's like, you know, handfuls of dirt in his face, you know, dirt in his hair, dirt in his pants. It's everywhere, which I think is a good kind of, you know, because I loved to be dirty when I was a kid. I was always playing in the mud, making mud pies, eating worms, that kind of thing.
You ate worms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was kind of a gross kid.
Why did you eat worms?
I just did. Yeah. I would dig for them, and then every once in a while I would eat one.
Like, I just did.
Yeah, mineral deficiency? I don't know.
I think the question is, why not?
Yeah, totally.
Why not eat?
Yeah, they have lots of protein.
Oh, see, yeah. I knew back then. I was building up my immune system.
Actually, I listened to a podcast on 60 Second Science, which is a daily science podcast. And one of them, there was a scientist who thought that we could solve world hunger problems if we did start to eat bugs because they're a good source of protein, they're abundant, and they're healthy for us, but we just have a cultural aversion to eating bugs. But actually, he thought that it was a good idea that we should all start. So.
Yeah, and Bear Grylls does it, right? When he's out in the wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always like, oh, look at this. Look inside of this. This looks delicious.
Is that the guy that eats bear poo?
I don't know about that.
I've never seen him eat bear poo, but it's possible. He eats pretty nasty stuff.
I think I saw one where he like hosed down a pile of bear poo and he's like, see, undigested apple in here. Let's eat that.
That sounds like something he'd do.
Well, okay, we're getting super gross today. This is the gross episode. Jennifer, do you want to bring it back around then and talk about being zen instead of being less zen? Is she back?
I'm back, okay. Yeah. Let's all take, you know, a moment of silence to take a deep breath. Process this morning. Yeah, so I read another great article recently, and it was from a mom who's a Buddhist and who lived in a monastery, but now she has a 3-year-old and her life's a little different, but she still takes those teachings into her daily life. And she's written quite a few articles on how moms can use these practices and dads to be better parents. And it really resonated with me because I really have felt kind of scattered lately with a lot of things going on. And the house, as I mentioned in my post, is kind of a mess sometimes. So recently I've changed that and I feel more focused. So I thought it was best to share, or a good idea to share, these reminders because they're kind of like common sense. But I think so many times we just have to sit and look into ourselves and think, hey, I really should put more focus on this. So one of the things I really loved was do what you're doing while you're doing it, which is basically like stop multitasking. So yeah, you guys probably do this a lot, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Guilty.
So her whole point of it is an important teaching in Zen is that your entire life is happening right now. So the past is over and the future hasn't happened yet. So therefore, all we have is the present. And so we just really need to focus like on that one thing that we need to accomplish in that moment. And then once we do, you know, it's over. We can stop stressing about it. We don't have to think about like the 50 things going on all at that one time. And I've been doing that. Before I would have 10 little tabs open in my Outlook and my TweetDeck going and my iPhone next to me. And I've been closing out all my windows but one, turning off my Gmail chats and just really, you know, cranking through some things, and it's felt great.
That's a great idea. Right now I have 10 tabs in my Firefox and 6 applications open.
Yeah, that's a lot. you don't even want to see what I've got going. I get such tab overload that I end up using Firefox and Chrome at the same time so that I can give myself more. It's bad. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would encourage you guys, just try it. Trim down, you know, for a day or so. If you don't like it, go back to whatever or just figure out what works. But I think downsizing has definitely helped me. So. And she had some other really good practices like leave no trace, which is basically just picking up after yourselves. And it's a good example for your kids because they see you pick up after yourself. But I kind of just leave things. I pick up, but sometimes I can turn around and say, oh my gosh, how could I not have picked up all that stuff? You know, there's her lunch. There's the bottle from this morning. So I've been picking up those things and it feels better. And I had clicked on another post that she had because I thought I might talk about some things that weren't in the post. And I thought this would be an interesting kind of topic for us to talk about. We were chatting about some things before we got on the podcast. But one of the things she mentions in another article is let your life be a question. So she says, instead of resigning yourself to everything you encounter, irritating people, sibling rivalry, exhaustion, jealous feelings, diarrhea, approach it all as a question. So a puzzle that's worthy of your investigation. Assume you don't know what's going on or the whole story. So this doesn't mean ask silly questions you know the answer to. It's just a matter of really wondering instead of reacting. So instead of saying, oh my God, my mother-in-law is making me crazy, say, I wonder why I react to her so strongly. Or God, that other mom is doing that. I wonder what she thinks about me. So maybe putting the focus more inside, internally. you know, and why you're reacting to things. And I think it really helps us sort of come into what we're kind of going through in the moment in terms of our emotions and things.
Yeah, that's really keen. You know, Eckhart Tolle, you've read mm-hmm. his stuff. He has this notion of the pain body and how there are certain mm-hmm. things you carry with you. And so I thought of that when you were talking about why do I react strongly to this or that? And you realize like, oh, this thing is sort of touching on my pain, or it's aggravating or stimulating my pain body, right? It's upsetting me because of these reasons. And so taking responsibility for why these things are annoying you rather than just being upset that things come into your life annoying really helps to deflect that, because then you can say, okay, why am I reacting like this? Why is this bugging me? Why did I manifest more of this? And so it helps you to be, and when you wrote this last night, I had just had this long conversation with Clayton. I'm like, literally, I'm running 24/7. I'm just making laps around. Like, I wake up at 6 a.m. and then I go to bed at 11 p.m. and I've been running all day. Like, mm-hmm. the other day I did that, and I said, literally, I've just probably, if I wore the Fitbit, I would have walked miles. I sat down for 10 minutes for dinner at the end of the day. And then I feel so goddamn spastic.
Yeah.
And then he sits, and then at the end of his long day, he sits down with his iPad, and I see him looking so relaxed, and then I feel like, all right, for some, isn't it? And that's not yeah. who I want to be, you know? And like, I think, Natalie, you had said when in your dinner post that then you got anxious because Sean was playing Words with Friends.
Yeah. You know, and I'm still washing diapers and, you know, cleaning up dinner, and, you know, I think it's a lot about sharing the load, you know, like making priorities. And, you know, I know Clayton does a lot to pitch around the house. So, you know, just making sure that he's, you know, doing the things that are the things that he either enjoys doing or that he's most attuned to doing, and you doing the things that you're best at. And then, you know, the things that are too much, then those just go to the wayside, and they don't, you know, not everything has to get done every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no reason to, you know, put 30,000 steps on your Fitbit every day.
Right. And he had said, look, some of it's not going to get done. Some of it you need to ask me because I don't see it. He doesn't see yeah. that, you know, the sink needs to be scoured, of course. Like, if you're feeling frantic, like, let's talk about it and we can reprioritize together. So today, mm-hmm. you know, I've got the heart raising. I've got all of the birthday stuff to do. And my mom's coming into LaGuardia, which is a super long drive from here because in New York City traffic. And he goes, we're getting her a car service. We cannot Good. Spend 4 hours in the car when
Definitely.
We're in full on birthday prep and you've got the heart raising. So we got, so that is one thing that literally just bought me 4 hours of time.
That's amazing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I think it's realizing that we as mommies need timeouts too. You know, it doesn't have to be a whole day out. It doesn't have to be a massage. It needs to be like 5 minutes alone. We need to sit down. We need to like close our eyes and think about, you know, just breathe. I mean, you guys are big fans of yoga, so you know how that goes. And some of the other things she counsels or coaches in here are just, you know, cultivating gratitude and just thinking about maybe in these times we get all caught up in all this stuff, we just sit down and we think about all the wonderful things that we have in our life and what we're thankful for. And it really does calm me down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Well, I feel much better after this discussion, and I felt better after even just discussing it with Clayton and then reading this. It felt like you had read our minds or sat down at our table and listened to this conversation. So thank you
Glad
for that.
Sure.
Jennifer had a good, before we wrap up what we had been writing about today, Jennifer, you posted on National Baby Food Week as well.
I did.
What is that?
I did. So, well, apparently it's just a national week that Krupps, the guys behind some appliances, reminded us they had this cool looking immersion blender that I actually have an immersion blender to make my baby food. And I know that Natalie Gafori, you had wanted one, I think, at one time.
I do want one.
Yeah, they're great.
Maybe
they're
can awesome. Send me one to test.
That would be cool. Let us know how it goes. Mine sucks. It's horrible. But basically, they're like those blenders you don't have to put the stuff in. You can just put them in your pan or put them in a bowl. And they don't cut anything or any, like, you know, your containers or anything like that.
It's like a wand, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think y'all probably all know what an immersion blender is. Anyway, but it's National Baby Food Week, and we just posted a fun little write-up on the site asking what your baby food recipes you're making this week. And this week I made last night for the first time something new. It was just a little pasta, tomato, little cheese sauce. I don't think she's a huge fan yet, but I'm going to keep working on it. Did you guys make anything new?
Yeah, well, I've been testing our Mummy and Bubby recipes, and I tested two things that he liked a lot, actually. And then I got inspired from that and made him chicken tikka masala.
Wow.
Gearing that up, and he seemed to like it.
Does he like garam masala?
Yeah,
is that the spice that you put in?
Mm-hmm.
Is it pretty spicy?
No, it's not. Not really that spicy at all.
Share the recipe. That sounds great.
Okay. I mean, because he's on cow's milk now, so I could use the cream that from the same company that he's. Yeah. So really cool. So anyway, well, we're giving away a ton of fun stuff. We don't have a Krups to give away just yet, but hopefully we will soon. But we're always giving away something fun on Mommy Beta, like baby food makers, baby food cookbooks, diaper stuff, you know, fit stuff for mommy. So make sure you go. We're going to be giving away some What to Expect books, which is the series of books that are so popular about conception and child rearing. So please make sure you're visiting regularly, mommybeta.com. Before we leave, we like to wrap up with a little victory. It's that little thing that's given us a little extra boost of confidence this week. Natalie, you have one this week, right?
I do. As of about 2 days ago, we officially said bye-bye to the Baba.
Wow.
So there are no bottles in this house. Well, actually there are. They're just not entering Nick's room these days. So we've actually, a long time ago, we switched over to the Born Free Trainer Cup nipple thing. So it's kind of like halfway between a nipple and a sippy spout that we've just been putting on the regular bottle. And I realized the other day that fits on the top of my clean canteens. So we have replaced the bottle with the clean canteen. So now it's a full kind of sippy cup mismatched that's going on. So that's what he's drinking his pre-nap and pre-bedtime bottles from now. So we're very excited. It was totally painless. And I'm glad to kind of have that milestone passed.
Congrats.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. Oh,
he's a spunky one.
Yeah. Yeah, Jennifer saw him this weekend. He's definitely got a mind of his own these days. So that's fun.
He was the life of the party, you know, after the birthday girl, of course. But he was dancing a little jig for her. It was cute.
Super cute.
He had a great time.
Oh, I miss that little guy. I miss you girls.
And we miss Alex today, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Alex has a lot of stories that she can share next week, such as moving with a toddler and trying to get all of that stuff done. And I can
she had all the grandparents and in-laws and everyone in town, and I know that was a fun thing for her to make sure everybody got the time that they wanted with the baby and everything. So yeah. I think she has some stuff to share with that.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully she can share it on the podcast, some stuff to be shared off the podcast. So, and if you want to know what it is we talk about off the podcast, write us, tweet us, comment on the site. You can always find us at mommybeta.com. We have comments open there. You can tweet us at mommybeta or email mb@mommybeta.com. That wraps up our show this week. I hope you didn't mind the overkill on the poop talk. We'll try and keep it a little cleaner next week, but no promises. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye, and happy birthday to Miles.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Miles.
Half the gals can be flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. You grow so big overnight. How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. the shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright?